Last week, Bill Maher, the talk show host, said that pro-lifers regard abortion as murder. Then he went on to calmly say, and it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. Well, there's honesty for you. Do you want to live in a world where murder is kind of okay? You know, Maher's honesty exposes a really troubling reality the pro-choice movement has worked overtime to hide. Abortion is murder. No one wants to be labeled a murderer, so they euphemistically call it a choice. Today, let's dive into the implication of Bill Maher's frank assessment of abortion, its implications, and the biggest mistake that the pro-life movement made and is still making. This is Brad Bright. Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast, where I show how God is the issue in every issue. I once heard a story about Sir Winston Churchill. He was seated next to a very lovely young lady at a dinner party. At one point, he turned to her and asked, "Would you sleep with me for £1 million?" She responded, "Yes." He then asked her, "Will you sleep with me for £10?" She responded, "No, what do you think I am?" To which he replied, "Ma'am, we've already established what you are. Now we're only quibbling over price." The question for Bill Maher is no longer, is murder okay? The question is now, what kind of murder is okay? Now we're only quibbling over the criteria for acceptable forms of murder. Now, Bill Maher's criteria seems to be, if we won't miss you, then it's okay. So I have a few questions for Bill. Do you miss the dead children at Uvalde? Do you miss the dead children at Parkland? Do you miss the dead children at Sandy Hook? Do you miss the 9 dead black parishioners at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina? Do you miss the 11 dead Jews gunned down at Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh? Do you miss the 1,100 dead people slaughtered by Hamas on October 7th? Look, if you don't miss them, does that mean that particular kind of murder is okay? I mean, as you said, there are 8 billion people in the world. You're not going to miss a couple thousand folks that you didn't personally know, are you? But here's my bigger question for Bill Maher. Are you giving me moral permission to abort anyone I won't miss? I mean, personally, I wouldn't miss Hunter Biden. I wouldn't miss Rashida Tlaib. I wouldn't miss Mayor Pete. I wouldn't miss Joy Behar. Well, maybe I'd miss Joy. She's a consistent source of great entertainment for me. But just how much murder is okay? I think this is an important point to quibble about. Folks, do you see the problem here? What Bill Maher seems to mean is, now that I've got mine, I don't really care about yours, unborn kid. I'm not sure he'd put it like that, but he might. He's really not trying to be mean, though. He's just being honest. Most pro-choicers try to deny the science that says the fetus is a baby. Bill is simply being truthful, and he's got a valid point. I was once one of those unwanted children, and frankly, I am grateful to the woman who gave me a shot at life because I love life. If the decision had been up to Bill Maher, he might have said, go ahead, kind of murder him. I'll never miss him. So here's my dilemma. Should I applaud Bill Maher for his honesty, or should I be offended by his honesty? What I love about Bill Maher is he's straightforward. He's very honest. He's authentic as the day is long. He's got a wry sense of humor, and he's fearless. Although I often disagree with him, I find it hard to not like him. He's a breath of fresh air in a world of spin and obfuscation. You know, I can respect Bill Maher's honesty far more than the folks who try to obscure what abortion really is. Folks, Maher's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He does not believe that we are created in the image of God. We are simply the result of time plus chance. We are a byproduct of survival of the fittest. If God doesn't exist, and therefore we are simply the result of some cosmic accident, why is murder wrong? Seriously. How do you start with survival of the fittest and logically conclude that you should love your neighbor? You can't. Bill Maher understands that, and he's smart enough and honest enough to admit it. You see, most folks on the secular left, meaning the godless left, pretend that God is dead and morality is real. They pretend as though hate really is wrong, even though hate drives the evolutionary survival of the fittest process forward. They pretend as though kindness is a virtue, even though kindness slows down the survival of the fittest process. If God does not exist, folks, it's all make-believe. If God doesn't exist, morality is a fairy tale, just like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. Now, Bill Maher seems to recognize this. You know, The earth is round, gravity is real, abortion is murder, no big deal. Then there's Richard Dawkins. You know, Richard Dawkins, the outspoken atheist and evolutionary biologist, he said earlier this month that he identifies as a cultural Christian. Now, that got my attention. This guy is known for his scathing critiques of Christianity. Why would he identify as a cultural Christian? I'll tell you why. Because although he thinks Christians are weird, and those are his words, he likes what Christianity has given to Western culture. He wants to experience the benefits of Christianity. Can you blame him? He was clear that he likes living in a Christian culture. He was clear that he doesn't want to live in a culture that denies science, including gender science. Remember, he's an evolutionary biologist. And of course, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, the scientific method was the direct result of how Christians saw God and therefore how they saw the world around them. It wasn't because Europeans were smarter than the ancient Greeks or the Romans or the Chinese or the Mayans or the ancient Egyptians or the Arabs. The difference was specifically their view of God and the resulting view of nature. Because of Christianity, you have air conditioning, cars, planes, cell phones, computers, and the internet. Because of Christianity, you have magnificent churches and cathedrals. Dawkins likes those things. But the worst implication of believing God is non-existent or irrelevant is that there is no way to start with survival of the fittest and reason that we have an obligation to love our neighbor. You can't get from Darwin to Jesus. You can't get from Karl Marx to the Golden Rule. No, in order to get to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you have to start with a God who said, love your neighbor. See, guys like Marr and Dawkins, they're in a tough position. They try to be as honest as they can as atheists, but at the end of the day, they really don't want to live in a truly godless culture where morality is simply a child's fairy tale. You know, where mass murder of school children or blacks isn't considered morally wrong. You know, where the basis of morality is, now that I've got mine, who cares about yours? So in light of that, let me address the only two ways to get rid of all abortion. And I really don't think you're going to like the first one. You remember how we got rid of slavery? It was called the Civil War. It got rid of slavery. It was very effective. I'm glad the abolitionists and Abraham Lincoln went to the mat on slavery. Are you? You know, we could do the same with abortion. And if we won, we could get rid of it in its entirety. Personally, though, I think that's a horrible, horrible option. But there is a second way to get rid of abortion. Now, first, let me give you some context. You are never going to convince an atheist to not think like an atheist. You are never going to convince someone who believes that survival of the fittest is the basis of human life that abortion is wrong, not unless they're really stupid. If you want to see abortion eradicated, the only viable path, the only way to get there is to help change the way your neighbors see God. This is the God who said, thou shalt not murder, but also said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, the Apostle Paul never told pagans to change their behavior. He always told them to change their God. It's a cause and effect relationship. And likewise, it's silly to tell atheists like Bill Maher to quit acting and thinking like an atheist. Their behavior is simply a symptom of how they view God. I've said for 35 years that Roe v. Wade was not the cause of abortion, so overturning it would not get rid of it. It wouldn't solve the fundamental problem. People would often give me a blank, uncomprehending stare. Most people thought Roe v. Wade was the problem. Now they know better. It took us 50 years to overturn that one bad decision. If it took us 50 years just to do that, how long do you think it'll take us to eliminate abortion in all 50 states using the same strategy? See, abortion, or as Bill Maher said, murder, is only a symptom of how we view God. But this leads me to the biggest mistake the pro-life movement has made. We are primarily focused on the wrong thing. Now, let's keep trying to save as many lives as possible, but let's not lie to ourselves that we are winning. Americans no longer believe that abortion should be legal, but rare. Most Americans now firmly believe that women should be able to get an abortion in the early stages of pregnancy. Their core problem is not their view of abortion. It is their view of God who said, thou shalt not murder. If we truly want to see abortion eliminated, each of us must make God the issue in our neighborhood, in our community. That's the indispensable foundation of the pro-life position, God's existence. We must each talk to our neighbors about Jesus. I talk to mine, you talk to yours. Now, many of these conversations may go on for months or years, but if we are not willing to do that, then we aren't as pro-life as we thought. You see, this is the same way Christianity conquered the Roman Empire, one person at a time. Contrary to popular belief, it wasn't the preaching of the gospel that conquered the Roman Empire. It was the relating of the gospel person to person. It spread virally. Now, in that process, the gospel had very practical effects. You see, in Jesus' day, the average Roman believed compassion was a moral weakness, a moral failing. Because of the gospel, the average Roman came to believe that compassion was a moral strength. When the first major plague hit, the Romans put sick family members out in the streets to die. The Christians picked them up and nursed most of them back to health at the risk of their own lives. The Romans put unwanted baby girls outside to die of exposure. The Christians found them and adopted them as their own. They made no distinction between the value of girls and boys. Both were created in God's image and therefore had infinite value in God's eyes. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, Christianity gave us the scientific method. How committed are you to saving the life of every baby? The only way to get there is by making the love of God the issue where you live today. The biggest mistake the pro-life movement has made is believing it can legislate abortion away instead of spiritual revival. Am I saying that we shouldn't make laws restricting abortion? Absolutely not. But we will never win the war for protecting all innocent babies through legislation. Only God can transform hearts. Now, we see throughout the Old Testament that when Israel relied on her military strength and strategy, she really consistently failed. But when she turned back to God, she could not be defeated. The pro-life movement faces a similar choice. Why is it that although we got what we had been fighting for 50 years, that is overturning Roe v. Wade, that most Americans now believe a woman should have the right to murder her unborn baby? Like Winston Churchill, we're just quibbling over how long she has that right. 6 weeks, 16 weeks, 9 months. We won the battle, but we lost the war, and that's on us. What are we willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about it? If you're truly pro-life, you now know how to win the war for the lives of these precious, precious children. As the children's Sunday school song says, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God really is the issue in every issue, especially the issue of abortion and murder. It's God's existence and only his existence that makes all human life precious with innate value. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. If you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share. God bless. And always remember, you can't get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor.